Welcome to the Name Game. Workout number 151 is .com. 3 rounds for time. 5 L pull-ups, 15 push-ups. 5 L pull-ups, 15 push-ups. 750 meter row. Finally, this workout has an 18 minute time cap.
Did great in typical Ben fashion.
Strategy is hold about 5K on first row and see how I feel for the other parts. Other than that, just see how the movements hold up. I think the L pull-ups are gonna be the hard part, so hopefully they do okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
And we're off. So, as the name alludes to, this is a .com workout. So, I was trying to look it up again because I had done a bunch of Googling and trying to figure out like a good L pull-up workout, because that's really what I wanted here. And this one seemed the most accessible to the most people, whereas like a bunch of other ones were like well over 50 reps of L pull-ups in the workout, and I just thought people would just be slogging through the whole time. So this kind of felt like it fit the bill for what I wanted.
So Ben, on the L pull-up, let's talk standards. What standards are you looking for in this workout?
Great question. We have no idea because they've never come out in a CrossFit competition.
Friggin' CrossFit.
The reason being, probably because it's going to be tough to standardize, right? So let's go to what I think maybe they would try to look for and like what realistically we're going to be looking for in this workout. So in this workout, I would say like you want to keep your toes over your hip crease. That's one thing maybe they could standardize, right? Like similar to a squat almost, but keeping throughout the entire range of motion toes above the hip crease. And then besides that, obviously you have to go from arms being completely extended in the bottom of the rep to chin over the bar at the top of the rep. Everything else is probably going to be a little bit of a gray area, because like you'll see that like I almost stay back kind of away from the bar. Like my chin doesn't go fully forward at the bottom, and it's really challenging to like get into that full overhead position at the bottom of the rep. So that's going to be one of those things, like if they do try to standardize a movement like this, it's just going to be really hard to do. And likewise, it's just like if there's something else, like your nose has to go in front of the plane of the bar or something. Like I was talking about this with one of our members here. Again, you could maybe do that, but it would just be kind of tough. So, but big things like chin over bar, getting to a dead hang, and keeping the toes over the hip crease.
Do you think they'll go towards like a chin up grip or pull up grip?
Yeah, great question. Again, with most thing, like with most of the movements, they don't mandate it. Like chest to bar, you're allowed to do supinated grip, just no one does because they butterfly, right? Whereas like Stacy on occasion will do mixed grip chest to bar, and like I know there's athletes out there who've done like mixed grip toes to bar and things like that, and that's totally kosher for them. It's just like a matter of like if you're not kipping the movement, it makes it where you can kind of play with it a little bit more. So I don't think they'd standardize it.
And this is something that, like, just so people are aware of, like, conversations we have internally, you know, Ben is kind of outlined obviously some movements we commonly see in quarterfinals, but there's definitely conversations of like what we think we could see at the quarterfinal level that's like maybe a new movement. And so he wrote this workout up and did his due diligence on the fact that they programmed quite a bit of L sit or L pull-ups over the course of what, the last year, Ben?
Not just like recently, but like so in my mind, and this is based on conversations that I've heard Adrian Bosman have with other people, is that you know, there are certain things that they want to sort of like pull out of the archives, and he's very big on like going back to the roots of like, you know, you know, the good old days, things like that. Like he's always talking with like on his podcast with Pat Sherwood about that kind of stuff. And this is one of those where it's certainly like been a staple in CrossFit's programming ever since the very beginning, just like an L sit or an L pull up, both of those variations. And it's something that we haven't ever seen. He's been talking about it quite a bit. So I think it's one of those where it's like, it's totally possible we see something like that. And that's why we did the variation that we did at quarterfinals prep camp. It's also why I'm having this workout so close to quarterfinals, is because a lot of people have done an L sit in some sort of interval or an L pull up in like an unfatigued format, but we haven't really done it in a Metcon. So I think it's just important to get a touch of it, provided, again, I'm not necessarily trying to predict, but it's also one of those things where there's carryover to doing other novel movements if you've done a novel movement in a workout before. So again, not an unreasonable thing for us to see. Even if we don't see it, there's going to be great carryover and benefits, other pulling gymnastics and, you know, just like the core compression and everything else. But so I'm not necessarily trying to predict, but also at the same time, you know, being ready for whatever could come out.
Mm-hmm. And I think for people in our ecosystem who are pushing for a semifinals level, like an L-sit rope climb is something we've seen at, I think, semifinals and the games, maybe.
Yes.
And so that's not uncommon. I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I really hope we don't see this at the quarterfinal level. Not because it's like
it's gonna Chris be a disaster. Can, like
an absolute disaster, yeah. Standard wise. Yeah, it has nothing to do with my ability or lack of ability to do it. Although, you know, I would prefer maybe not. But it's like,
yeah.
just from an implementation standpoint, Ben owns an affiliate. You know,
it's like the VIA from last year. It's a great movement to do, but it's a terrible movement to race.
Well, and I think this is even harder. Like, this movement would be even harder than the VIA from last year. Or,
I believe so, yeah.
Because of the isometric nature, it's like, and how infrequently people do it, it's like, did the toe, let's use the standard we just made up for this workout, right? Did the toe dip below the hip crease? Did it not? Who's the person's name? Do we give that, you know what I mean?
How many Instagram followers they got?
Yeah, because then all that stuff starts to come out, and people come out of the woodwork like, they only gave it to her because, you know, she has all these Instagram followers, and you need this girl at the games, and this guy is a no-name, and it's like, yeah, they don't do themselves any favors sometimes when it comes to that stuff.
No, not at all. Day, obviously you haven't done this workout, and other people are in the same boat. Is there anything just looking at a glance that you would, obviously, like, besides like the elf pull-up, or maybe how that impacts the rest of the workout, like how would you think about pacing this?
This one, it's definitely going to depend on someone's like strict strength, like relative body strength. I think that's going to be the limiting factor here, because it's not much, like, you're not really pushing heavy weight, so it's all body weight, not going super fast on it either, burning out, but it's going to be dependent on what your max push-ups and pull-ups are and your relative body strength. So if someone has good pull-ups, like strict pull-ups in general, and they could crank out quite a few, then going unbroken will be the case, just like how you did. Just going unbroken, you can see you're going at a nice steady pace. You don't look super fatigued and all that, but if there's going to be one limiting factor for most people, it's going to be like how fatigued their pulling muscles are, so their back and their biceps. And same for push-ups. If someone has good relative body strength for push-ups, in that, they could do those 15 unbroken really easily, versus someone who doesn't have that strength may struggle a little bit more, and they're going to have to break it up, and that will be their limiting factor. So it's all dependent on the person's like body weight strength, but I think it's, for most people, it'll be pretty much go unbroken.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I will also add that if you're someone who is fairly tight overhead, especially like in your lats, your lats get stretched more with like that, like pelvic, like tucking, or like basically when you're in like hip flexion plus a little bit of spinal flexion, like that rounding of your posterior chain, like it really stretches out your lats as well, just based on whether they insert down by your hips. So, like for me in particular, you'll see that like at the bottom of each of these, I'm really fighting to get to full extension. Like that's, if you haven't done these, like that's the thing that probably will surprise you the most if you're someone who's pretty good at like upper body pulling, yet you struggle with like the L-sit. It could just be that you like lack the hip flexor strength, but for I think a good subset of people, especially the guys who do this, if they tend to be tighter, it's like, it's not necessarily like, for me, it wasn't like it was like I couldn't do the 10 strict pull-ups each round, right? It's like the fact that I'm just struggling to get to maintain the position at the bottom of each of those reps.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think the going from that dead hang while holding that that L-sit position is going to be pretty tough, because if you look at it, you spend, I don't know, about 10 seconds to do the 5 L pull-ups or something like that. And just an L sit, we all know how challenging that is just to do 20 seconds. So doing that repeatedly while having to do like a strict pull-up, that's going to get challenging real quick.
Yeah. I literally couldn't believe that I had to break these push-ups. I don't know why. I my push-ups are generally good. Like, these are some of the hardest push-ups I've done. Besides, like, Murph. I'm like, why are these so challenging? It's kind of funny. I was like, I was not expecting to have to break the push-ups in this workout.
Oh, no, I was going to ask, like, did you feel like your upper body was just smoked from the L pull-ups and that was causing it? Or were you just genuinely, like, out of breath or...
No, I mean, I think it's just because, like, you're trying to get through them so quickly.
Yeah.
And, like, so you do the, and you're obviously trying to, like, make up ground from the other parts. Whereas, like, normally if you're in, like, a push-up workout, you know to break the push-ups because it's, like, otherwise they're just going to go to crap. And, but in this one, it, like, the push-ups are just, like, the thing you overlook so easily because you're focused on the other stuff. So it's, like, I think just... I think it was a couple of things with my shoulder. I haven't been doing as much like pressing volume, and then also just like trying to, you know, focus on the other stuff. I just probably overlooked it that, you know, it kind of caught up with me on the very last round, which again is fine at that point, and I didn't really lose a lot of time, but it's just interesting.
I mean, it is still 90 push-ups. Like,
that's, yeah, and that's what I thought about afterwards. I was like, yeah, it definitely is a decent amount of push-ups.
Yeah,
and like. They're very condensed into like these short segments. It's not like you're doing 90 across, like whatever it is at the end, like 12 or 13 minutes or something. It's like it's like doing three, you know, 1 minute AMRAPs where you're resting like, you know, 4 minutes between or something, right? It's like these short windows of like a high contraction rate and then like not a rest in between, but you're resting that musculature in between. It's kind of interesting.
Did you feel your biceps at all, like up on this row? Like, were you just trying to relax your arms as much as humanly possible?
Yeah, and that's something I definitely was focused on. Like, I tend to have like a little bit of early elbow bend. Well, when I do a lot of movements, but including rowing, so like, like really like focusing on like almost like not using my triceps, but like really focusing on like relaxing my elbows and letting them be straight as I'm in my pull of the row stroke. While still trying to keep like use as much leg and keep the row as reasonably paced as I can, right? So I started around 5K pace, which is like a 151 or so for me, and then that one actually slowed down a bit, I think, and then obviously this last one's a lot quicker, but that middle one was maybe a touch slower than 5K. But this last row, you just get to send it. It's great.
Everyone's favorite.
Yeah. And again, I would say last thing here is like for scaling, like there's no time cap. So you just might need to either like scale to like a tuck pull up or something similar if you're just not ready to handle the volume of L pull ups just yet.
That's it. You did it.
Beautiful.
You did it. You did it, guys.
You did. You did great. In typical Ben fashion.
Thanks for watching today. Be sure to share this workout and take it on with some friends. If you want to learn more about how to optimize your performance for the sport of CrossFit, or if you're interested in hiring one of our coaches, head over to zorfitness.com. And if you enjoyed this video, be sure to subscribe. Best of luck on the workout, and as always, stay the course.